Now, 5 on 5 5 on or RadioRTE.ie. Away from Eurovision, last week, Annalee Dowling answered a question on Twitter. The question was, tell me a decision that changed the trajectory of your life. And then there was a stipulation that you can't say choosing your faith, getting married or having a kid. And Annalee, in a very casual way, responded, someone found baby me in a train station in China. So instead of dying, I ended up in Ireland. So I said, we have to talk to Annalee Dowling. And Annalee is with us in studio. Good afternoon.
Hi, Ray. Thanks.
Yeah. So all the way from Portlaoise.
Yep.
Do you say Portlaoise or Portlaoise?
Portlaoise.
Portlaoise, yes. I think, do posh people say Portlaoise or something?
In Portlaoise, we do forget to pronounce our T, so it's more like Portlaoise.
Well, I'm with you. I'm from Kildare, so we don't pronounce our THs. Yeah, so there. Great to have you in studio. What a response. That stopped people in their tracks, didn't it? Someone found baby me in a train station in China, so instead of dying, I ended up in Ireland. Where does one begin with this story? I suppose we'll start at the end. So, Portlaoise, who's in the family with you?
My mum and dad, Nolan and Ger, and I have an older brother called Shane as well, who's living in England at the moment.
Right. And what age are you?
I'm 19.
Okay, and what are you doing?
I'm studying law. I'm just after, I'm in the middle of my first year law exams actually at the moment. I'm doing law, criminology and criminal justice in NUIG.
Exciting.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
And is that something you always wanted to do?
Yeah, something I've always been interested in, definitely.
And do either your parents do it or?
No, I'm the first one in the family doing law.
And what was it that attracted you to law?
Well, throughout primary school and secondary school, I did an awful lot of debating. So that's kind of where it started. And I always loved English as well as a subject.
Right. So where do you want to specialise, or have you thought about that yet?
Actually, this year I'm after just finishing an optional module called Family Law, and obviously being adopted and having that kind of personal experience is something that I would be interested in. But I really like the criminal side of things as well. Both are very interesting.
Okay. So bring us back then to that train station. You obviously don't remember anything about being there, but you've been told the story. So whereabouts in China was it?
A place called Changsha. It would have around 8 or 9 million people living there.
Okay.
So it's quite large.
And whereabouts is it situated in the country?
Kind of south central China.
Right. And is it famous for anything in particular?
The train station actually that I was found in, and a university that's there.
Okay. Yeah. And why is the train station famous?
Just because it's so busy and there'd be many people going in and out every day. Millions of people would be travelling through there.
Every day?
Yeah, every day.
Right.
Yeah.
I had a look at it. It's ginormous.
It is, yeah. It's a lot bigger than Houston, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a lot bigger than Houston, yeah. So you were... Describe what happened then.
So I have... I had a hemangioma on my leg.
Which is what?
Some people kind of colloquially call it a strawberry birthmark.
Aha.
And it was very badly infected. So I was left at the train station, and as I kind of mentioned on Twitter, left to be found, really. I could have been left anywhere, but the busiest train station, I mean, someone was going to find me and look after me. And I was brought over to an orphanage there then, and I was there for about a month to 6 weeks. And I got adopted through International Orphan Aid Ireland. So they set up a programme alongside Dr. Brian Denham for Chinese children that needed medical attention, really. And we all came to Ireland here to be adopted and to receive that medical attention that we all needed.
Aha, uh-huh, right. So who filled in the gaps for you? You've got it from a number of people, have you?
Yeah, my parents and Sally Keaveney, the founder of International Orphan Aid Ireland. We'd all be quite close and we'd be chatting regular enough.
Okay. And of course, Sally would have been in touch with the people from the orphanage.
Yes.
So they would have described how you were found.
Yeah.
Were you in a container or what? Were you told that?
I actually don't have that information.
Do you not? Sorry.
No.
Yeah, I love you because everything's going to be really factual because you're doing law. I don't have that information. You know, you're not going to sort of even, you know, attempt. So you don't know if you're found in a basket or a carry cot or whatever.
No.
But what you do know is that whoever left you there, your biological mother, wanted you to be found.
Yes, yeah.
And how does that make you feel?
You do hear an awful lot of kind of horror stories, but I've always had this outlook on life that I've nearly been given a second chance, that, you know, God had a plan for me or whoever you believe in, and things were kind of meant to work out the way that they did.
Yeah. And were there a lot of orphanages in China at the time? So this is,
yes,
we're talking 20 years ago.
Yeah. And there still is an awful lot of orphanages in China, and IOAI, International Orphan Aid, are still continuing to do work in those orphanages.
And they've been doing it since the early 90s, because I was a patron for them back in the early 90s when I had hair. They got me to take a picture with it was the most beautiful picture ever. There was eight orphans from China between the ages of, I think, 6 months and about two.
It's their 25th anniversary this year, actually. Yeah.
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 Yeah. How many do you know, how many children have they brought over from China in that 25 years?
Over 500, approximately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So when then did Gerard Nolene sit you down and tell you that you were adopted?
I can't remember a defining moment. It's kind of something I've always known, but it was never really a negative thing. You know, other people, perhaps in school or neighbours or anything like that, nothing was ever mentioned to me about it. It was just something. It's as if I would say I'm 19. It's just another fact about myself. It was never really a clear moment I remember. It's just something I've always known.
Which is a lovely thing to say about your parents in a way, because they made you feel so comfortable in yourself.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. And what about Portlaoise? Portlaoise is a sort of a small enough town. I don't know. So when you were 5, 6, 7, was the school, was it multicultural, multinational?
Yeah, actually, surprisingly, as you said yourself, Portlaoise wouldn't be a huge town.
Yeah.
But in first year in my forum group in my class, there was a class of 30 girls, say, and there was 26 different nationalities in that one class.
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when you were asked, were you asked then to stand up and tell people who you were and where you were from?
Yeah, it was one of those kind of icebreakers that at the start of secondary school when you're trying to get to know people. Yeah.
Yeah, go on. Tell us about that. How was that for you?
It's just not really something, I think, it's not something I've ever really thought about, because people my age are kind of growing up in an environment when, you know, Ireland has nearly become a cultural melting pot, if you will, where everyone has such interesting stories and everyone has different backgrounds.
But I was saying to somebody recently, somebody said to me that we're learning on the job because we're doing it for the first time, because up until 25 years ago, we were homogeneously white.
Yeah,
We're a very white country. So it's happened all of a sudden. So we're sort of learning on the job.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk then about going back to China. How often have you been back?
So I was back when I was 3 or 4. That was to finalise the adoption process. And then the last time I was back was in 2018. A bit older, able to remember the trip. Meant an awful lot more to me, of course.
Okay. Where did you go to?
So we went to 3 different cities. We went to Beijing, the capital.
What's the population of Beijing?
Oh, God, it could be millions. I'm sorry, I don't have to figure off the top of my head.
But it's mind-blowingly big compared to Portlaoise.
Oh, of course, yeah. We also went to Shanghai then. And when I'm telling people about my trip, you know, I always, in my head, I think of Shanghai as like the Cork of Ireland.
Right.
You know, everyone from Shanghai says, we're the real capital have to come here. and then the third place we went to was Changsha, where I'm from.
Right, okay. And did you visit the train station?
We did. And the orphanage that I was in there, that building and that orphanage isn't there anymore. So we went to another orphanage kind of nearby and donated some toys and stationery and things like that. And as you can imagine, a very emotional trip.
Yeah.
But very, very much needed. I think I kind of got a bit of closure and, you know, the importance of going back to your roots. And it was just an unbelievable trip. China is so different to Ireland.
Yes, of course it is, yeah. And I believe you stood outside the train station and cried.
I did. And unfortunately, I think it's my story would be quite common. And a lot of people that were there and going in now the train station, without me ever saying a word, kind of knew what was happening.
Right.
You can kind of see from people's faces. Of course, they weren't wearing masks back then, pre-COVID. And I just couldn't possibly put into words that feeling. It's kind of one of those life moments that unless you've experienced it yourself, it's kind of very hard to
articulate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like we're hardwired to find out about where we came from.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, and then I've spoken to a lot of people over the years who've been adopted, and they talk at some stage in their life where they get nearly a sort of a, it's something they can't control, a drive to find out who their parents are, you know, that they can't explain why they want to, but they need to. Have you experienced that?
Yes and no. At the moment, like I said, I'm 19. Yeah. It's kind of something I have thought about recently, but I mean, China is huge. I do actually know another girl adopted from China that, do you know, have you heard of 23andMe, those DNA yes. testing things yes. and you can kind of connect with family yes. over the world. But the problem with me is I wouldn't be too hopeful about it. I don't think, like she found third and fourth cousins. I wouldn't really be expecting close matches. And then the issue is if my birth family did use one of those companies, it's about finding the right one. And there's so many people. And yeah. I wasn't really left with any note or anything like that, no connection back. So I really don't have much to go on compared to some other people.
Mm. Do you daydream about...
Sometimes.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I used to fantasize that my birth mother was some famous superstar and she left me in Ireland to experience the culture and oh.
Yeah. And then you woke up.
And then I woke up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you talk to Gerard Nolan about maybe in years to come that there may be a stronger drive to find out?
Yes, we've had talks about that before, yeah. and I definitely will go back to China once, you know, travel restrictions ease and things like that. I definitely will. And I've even considered maybe volunteering or as a career. I mean, with a law degree, I could go anywhere.
Yeah, yeah. So how do you find Ireland then? And like, have you been a victim of racism, for example? I know you're completely Irish, like it's ridiculous that I'm asking you that question, but yeah. you're obviously Asian, you know, yeah. in, you know, your heritage.
Fortunately, nothing too extreme, but with the pandemic, obviously yes. xenophobia has yes. gotten a lot more common, unfortunately, but thankfully, no, nothing. I've got no horrific story to tell you.
Yeah, yeah. Right, good. I'm delighted.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. Actually, delighted. there is, and I won't really even call this racism, but I remember very clearly one time a couple of years ago when my grandfather, bless his soul, was still alive and I was visiting in a nursing home in Kildare, actually. And there was a lovely man, a farmer, a retired farmer sitting beside him called Frank. And we were chatting away anyway and he goes to me, Annalee, is it? I said, yeah. He goes, what are the cows like in China? And I said, God, Frank, I don't know. What are the cows like in Kildare? And he had a good old laugh.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Yeah. So you're in first year now. You have 3 years to go. The Orphanage Ireland, is there a sort of a community of those 500 people who've been adopted from China?
Yes, me and a few of the girls, we'd all be similar ages. So I'd still text them and Snapchat them right. regularly. Yeah.
Yeah. So what are the celebrations for 25 years? Do you know?
I don't, sorry. I imagine it'll be quite remote this year with the way things are at the moment. Yeah. Perhaps something online, maybe we might sort something out.
All right. You're telling me there's a Coppers in Portlaoise. Is there?
There is, yeah.
There used to be a hotel there called a Collection. I did discos there years ago, but that's go. So Coppers is where the young people go.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it? Right, yeah, yeah. So Gerard and Nolene, tell us about them. Tell us about your folks.
My dad is a retired chief officer, prison officer, and he's recently set up a company called Clinical Cleaning.
Right.
And my mum works in healthcare now.
Right. And you have an older brother.
Shane, yes.
Yeah.
He's living over in England at the moment. He's an accountant. I haven't seen him since Christmas.
Right.
He was able to come home just before the ban. He came home around November and he was home for about 6 or 8 weeks. It was lovely.
And you obviously have the chat about how you were chosen and the whole process. And
yeah.
It was a different time then because I would imagine, you know, the old broadband in Portlaoise wasn't great.
Yeah. My parents have always told me that when they got, of course, as you can imagine, the adoption process is quite long. So when they got the email to say that I was on the way over to Ireland, I remember them telling me that there was a photo in the email of me. And as you said yourself, back then, internet wasn't the same as it is today. And they'd say how it loaded pixel by pixel and they're waiting there with bated breath for the image to load.
Yeah. And what about when you arrived? What about that?
I was actually supposed to arrive on St. Paddy's Day, would you believe?
Right.
But my flight got delayed. So I came on the 18th going into the 19th of March then.
Right.
And they were waiting for me in the airport.
And were your parents allowed to name you?
Yeah.
That was the way it was done?
Yeah.
Right, okay. It's an amazing story. And if the person hadn't found you and didn't bring you to the orphanage, and if Sally Keaveney hadn't set up International Orphanage, who knows?
There's a lot of ifs.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you fantasise about those various ifs?
Not in the way I think people might think. My whole outlook on it has, as I said there, that I've been given a second chance. And I really think my perspective on life anyway has always been that if you have an opportunity to take it, if you really want something, go for it. I think it's important to kind of chase your passions and really think about what's important to you. I don't really like sitting back and just letting things happen.
Yeah, you're a doer.
Yes.
Go get her. Well, it's been a real pleasure meeting you, Anna Lee Dowling. And I'm sure we'll meet again. I'm sure our paths will cross.
I'm sure we will.
Thanks so much for coming in. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.